الأعمال حسين بريد مال الإمام المجامع المقصدين رحمه الله يقول ساعة نقرد صورة تكسين بالمجد لهم تكسين بالأسفار عن
So we're starting late with this subject at 8 o'clock start. Wallahu musta'an. So apologies to brothers and sisters who've been waiting. Then, what we had last time was the last part of the section on Iman, or the definition of Iman, and the position of the people of the Sunnah, that Iman is speech of the tongue, action of the limbs and belief of the heart. It increases with obedience to Allah and decreases through disobedience to Allah, and the people vary in their level of Iman. They vary in the very root of Iman, in their root belief they vary, and they vary in their actions as well, contrary to the saying of the Murji'ah with their different sects, and contrary to the other deviant sects in that regard. Then after that section, then the Imam Ibn Qudama, he starts a different section with regard to a specific part of Iman, which is Iman in Al-Ghayb, the hidden and the unseen. So it's given, it occurs on the Egyptian edition that we have here, that most of us have, on page 188, on the Saudi edition, page 184, which is our affair. Then it's headed here, فَصْلٌ فِي الْإِيمَانِ بِالْغَيْبِ. Obviously these headings here being an addition to the original text. فَصْلٌ فِي الْإِيمَانِ بِالْغَيْبِ, section with regard to Iman in the hidden and the unseen, الْغَيْبِ. So Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidahullah, he begins this section with an explanation of this topic, and he says, having defined Iman and having mentioned the evidences for its definition with the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, with the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, he then mentioned that from Iman is having Iman, having true faith in Al-Ghayb, in the hidden and unseen, Al-Ghayb. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan explained this word, Al-Ghayb. What is this Ghayb that we must have Iman in? He said, it is مَا غَابَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَلَمْ يُشَاهِدُوهُ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الْمَاضِيَةِ والأمور المستقبلة التي لم يشاهدها الناس. So he explained Al-Ghayb, the hidden and the unseen, and said, it is that which is hidden from the people and which they do not witness, from the affairs of the past and the affairs of the future, which the people do not witness, since they have passed by and finished, or because they have not yet happened. Which means the affairs of the past, for each generation, this generation, the affairs of the distant past, we don't witness them, they've happened already and finished. And likewise, the affairs of the future, we have not witnessed those affairs of the future yet. So he said, from those things which there are authentic reports about. So there is no scope for the aql, there is no scope for the intellect to enter into this at all. In hidden and unseen events of the future, hidden and unseen events of the past, things we have not witnessed in the future, things we have not witnessed in the past, there's no scope for the intellect to enter into that. He said, but rather belief about it is based upon the naql. And naql belief about it is based upon what is reported. And he explains that. And it is the true report from Allah and His Messenger. So everything which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed about from the unseen affairs of the past and from the unseen affairs of the future, then it is obligatory to have iman in it, to truly believe in it and to submit to it without entering into it with our intellect and our own understanding. And he explains the reason. He said, because this is something which cannot be reached by our intellect nor by our thinking. Rather, it is just founded upon at-tasleem wa-tasdeeq. It is just founded upon submitting and believing in the reports from Allah and His Messenger. And then he makes a crucial point and says, and iman, true faith, iman, is actually just iman in al-ghayb. Iman is just true faith, iman in the hidden and the unseen. As for having iman, as for believing in something which is witnessed, then there is no special distinction for anyone regarding that. And this is not called iman, this is not called believing. It's something that we see in front of us, that a person sees it with his eyes, then believing that is not called iman. So you don't say we have iman in this thing that you can see in front of you. But he said this is not, no one has a special distinction about believing something they can see in front of their eyes. This is not called iman, meaning that a person does not believe except in what he witnesses and sees. This is not iman. And the person says, I only believe in what I can see in front of my eyes. Then this person is not a person of iman. He doesn't have iman. The only thing he'll believe in is what he sees in front of his own eyes. Sheikh said, and therefore, I mean for this reason, therefore, iman will not be accepted when the day of resurrection is established. Firstly, first case, that iman will not be established when the day of resurrection is established. Iman won't be accepted when if people have iman at that time only. Iman will not be established when the day of resurrection. So iman will not be accepted when the day of resurrection is established. Or, secondly, he mentions, or if a person's time of death comes and he sees what he used to be told of from the affairs which are hidden from him. If a person is dying and now he sees his soul, the angels going to take his soul, and he sees what is the point of death and what follows, if he believes at that point, that will likewise, his iman will not be accepted at that point. So either of these two points, if people have iman only when the day of judgment is established, then they have iman only. Or the person only when he's dying, his soul is being taken out, that iman will not be accepted. Sheikh said, so when he sees that with his own eyes, his iman will not then be accepted. And there occurs in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبَلُ تَوْبَةَ الْعَبْدِ مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِرْ. There occurs in the hadith that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will not accept the repentance of a servant. Or rather, he said, Allah will accept the repentance of a servant as long as he is not experiencing the death rattle. You know, as long as his soul is not departing from his throat, and the noise, but he's actually dying, and that noise is in his throat. The noise is a death of dying person, or a gurgling noise, as a person is dying, his soul is being taken out. So the hadith, Allah accepts the repentance of a servant as long as he has not experienced the death rattle. The hadith they mention is reported by Ahmad in the Musnad, and by At-Tirmidhi from a hadith of Ibn Umar. At-Tirmidhi said the hadith is Hassan, Hassan al-Gharib. Hassan is good with a single chain of narration. And likewise, Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he declared the hadith Hassan, good. Then Shaykh Fawzan himself explained the hadith and said, meaning, as long as his soul does not rattle in his throat. Because when his soul reaches the rattling in the throat, then Iman has come to an end. And action has come to an end. And the person falls into that which he was previously informed of. And he then witnesses it with his eyes. Then Shaykh Fawzan quotes the ayah, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. Surah Qaf, the 50th surah, ayah 22. With the explanation that you were heedless of this. In the context of the person who's dying. That you were heedless of this. So now we have removed your cover. And now today your sight is sharp. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is an address to the person. That when he is at the point when his soul is being taken, he witnesses that which he used to be informed about in his lifetime. But then Iman will not benefit him. He at that point said, I believe in the unseen. The angels have come to take his soul, are taking his soul out. Now he said, I believe in the angels. I believe in the afterlife. His soul's being taken, it will not be accepted. But Iman will not benefit him then. Likewise, his saying, he the Most High, يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسًا إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلُ أَوْ كَسَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا. Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 158, with the explanation, the day when some of the signs of your Lord come, then no soul will benefit from its Iman if it has not believed previously and earned good deeds based upon its Iman. And then Shaykh Fawzan mentioned in explanation, and this, commenting upon the explanation of this ayah about what is this sign that appears, and this is when the sun will rise from its place of setting. And as a side point, there is an authentic hadith in this regard, a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself explained the ayah in this way. The hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, hadith number 4636, with his chain of narration from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hour will not be established until the sun rises from its place of setting. So when it rises and the people see it, they will all believe, they will all have Iman. But that will be when Iman does not benefit a soul. And then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recited this ayah. Surah Al-An'am, ayah 158. So this is why, as Shaykh Fawzan said here, explaining the ayah likewise, he said, and this is when the sun rises from its place of setting. At that time, Iman will not be accepted from those who believe then, at that time. And repentance will not be accepted from those who repent, meaning who repent at that point. Since this will have become something actually experienced and witnessed, and it will not be something hidden. And therefore, he says, he's a majestic and most high. بَلْ كَذَّبُوا بِمَا لَمْ يُحِيطُوا بِعِلْمِهِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِهِمْ تَأْوِيلُهُ كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الظَّالِمِينَ. Surah Yunus, the 10th surah, ayah 39. With the explanation, rather they have denied that which they could not encompass with their knowledge, and that which has not yet been fulfilled. Likewise did those people who came before them deny. So see what was the end of the wrongdoing unbelievers. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and he says, He the Majestic and Most High, at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. The ayahs from Surah Al-Baqarah, the second and third ayahs from the second surah, with the explanation, this Qur'an is the book in which there is no doubt. It is guidance for the people of taqwa. It is guidance for those who are dutiful to Allah. Those people who have iman in the hidden and the unseen. Those people who truly believe in the hidden and the unseen, the ghaib. And they establish the prayer. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the first of the characteristics of the people of taqwa, the muttaqeen, those who are fearful of Allah and dutiful to Allah, the first of their characteristics is yu'minuna bil ghaib, that they have iman in the hidden and the unseen, the ghaib. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning in that which is hidden from them and which they do not witness. Rather, concerning it, they rely upon true reports. So they have iman in it. They have iman in it based upon these true reports, just as if they were seeing it openly. In the people of the believers, they believe in the hidden and the unseen, the ghaib. Just the same, their belief in that is just the same as their belief in something which they're seeing with their eyes. He said, because they believe in the reports from Allah and the reports from His Messenger, from Allah alayhi wa sallam. So regarding the hidden affairs of the future, or rather he said, with regard to the hidden affairs and the affairs of the future, reliance is not placed upon the intellect. Reliance is not placed upon the intellect, nor upon thinking. Rather, reliance about them is upon correct reports, which come from Allah, the Majestic and Most High, the one who is Alimul Ghaybi wa Shahada, the one who is the knower of the unseen and of that which is witnessed. Or which have come from his prophet, who does not speak from his own desires, rather it is just revelation sent to him. About the hidden and the unseen, the believers rely upon these two: reports from Allah, reports from the Messenger. Then he said, and entering into this matter, in the matter of the ghaib, the hidden and the unseen, that we must have iman in, entering into this matter are many reports about the past, such as reports about the earlier nations, the story of Adam and the angels, and the stories of the previous nations, the people of Nuh and Ad and Thamud, and the people of Ibrahim and the companions of Madian, and other nations beside them. Allah has informed us about all of this, so it is obligatory to have iman in it. And it is something hidden and unseen from the past. So these are the affairs, the hidden and unseen with regard to the past, the like of this. And he comments upon the hidden and the unseen, or the second aspect of the future. He said, and likewise the hidden and unseen affairs of the future, such as the signs of the hour, ashraq al-sa'ah, signs of the hour, and what will occur before the establishment of the hour, and what will occur at the end of time, and likewise having iman in the punishment of the grave and in its bliss, and whatever he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed of in that regard, and likewise having iman in the last day and whatever will occur in it, and having iman in the resurrection and the raising of the dead, and having iman in al-jannah, in paradise, and an-nar, in the hellfire. All of that enters into al-iman bil-ghayb, having iman in the hidden and the unseen. Indeed, iman in Allah, having iman in Allah itself, He the Majestic and Most High, enters within iman in the hidden and unseen. Even iman in Allah, it enters within, hidden in the iman in al-ghayb, the hidden and the unseen. Because we do not see Allah, the Majestic and Most High. And here in this life, we do not see Allah. So having iman in Allah is a part of the iman in the ghayb, the hidden and the unseen. It says, because we do not see Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Rather, we just believe in Him, we have iman in Him, based upon His signs in the creation, and the signs in the Qur'an, the ayat of the Qur'an, and in the reports from His messengers, alayhim wa salatu wa salam. Our iman in Allah is based upon these three. In the signs that He has placed in His creation that we can see, in the ayat of the Qur'an that He has sent to us, and in the reports from His messengers, alayhi wa salatu wa salam. Shaykh said, so we have iman in Allah, and in His names, and in His attributes, and in the obligation of worshipping Him alone, based upon the true reports, and the clear signs, and the shining proofs, which are before our eyes, from that which we do witness, from the creation of Allah and the kingdom of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And that it is not possible for this creation to have been, or it's not possible for this creation to have produced itself, or that someone else besides Allah produced it. Someone else besides Allah, the Perfect and Most High. That is not possible. It's not possible this creation brought itself into existence. And it's not possible that someone besides Allah brought it into existence. The Shaykh quotes some ayahs in evidence. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. Surah At-Tur, the 52nd surah, ayahs 35 to 36. With the explanation, were they created from nothing? Or are they themselves the creators? Or did they create the heavens and the earth? Rather, they do not have certain faith. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Hafidhullah, who can claim that he has created the tiniest ant, or that he has created himself a grain of wheat, or a barley corn, or has created anything from the heavens or the earth? Who can claim this? No one claims this. No one from the unbelievers. despite the severity of their unbelief and their obstinate rejection of the truth. No one is able to claim that they have created anything. أروني ماذا خلقوا من الأرض أم لهم شرك في السماوات أم آتيناهم كتابا فهم على بينة منه. سورة فاطر 35 سورة آية 40. The explanation: show me what they created from the earth. Those others whom they claim besides Allah, those whom they claim are partners besides Allah, those whom people worship besides Allah, show me what they have created from the earth. Or do those whom they associate have any share in the heavens? Or did we give them a book commanding them to associate others, so that they are upon clear evidence in their associating others along with them? This tafsir being taken from Tafsir al-Tabari, as usual. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so Allah the Majestic and Most High challenges them. So he says, those whom you worship besides Allah, show me what they have created from the earth. The Shaykh said, no one claims that which he worships has created anything, because he is not able to claim this at all. And Allah the Majestic and Most High informed that he created the heavens and the earth, and that he created the jinn and mankind, and that he created. Allah the Most High created everything, and there is no one who can raise objections to Allah with regard to what he has created. He the Perfect and Most High, since no one is able to do that, no one else is able to create anything from creation. And no one is able to raise any objection to Allah and say, no, this was created by so and so, and this thing was created by so and so. No one can claim this, and no one is able to do that. And Allah challenges them and says, bring forth your proof that anyone creates besides Allah the Perfect and Most High. أَمْ جَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَاءَ خَلَقُوا كَخَلْقِهِ فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَيْهِمْ قل الله خالق كل شيء وهو الواحد القهار. سورة الرعد 13 سورة آية 16. With the explanation, do they set up for Allah partners whom they claim create like his creation, such that they are confused about what they created and what Allah created? Say, Allah is the creator of everything, and he is the one, the overwhelming subduer. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he the Perfect informed that he created and he creates, and no one can object. No one is able to do this. Rather, the intellect submits to this. No one claims that anyone creates along with Allah the Perfect and Most High. So therefore Allah the Majestic and Most High, he is Al-Khalaq. He alone is the creator who creates again and again. He the Perfect and Most High, he is Al-Khaliq. He is the creator and maker, the Majestic and Most High. This is submitted to by the whole world, all of it, the unbelievers and the believers from them, that Allah, he is the creator, the Perfect and Most High. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. Surah Luqman, the 31st surah, ayah 25 with the explanation. And if you were to ask them, who created the heavens and the earth? They would certainly say Allah. And even people of shirk, they would still affirm Allah's lordship and rububiyyah. But if you were to ask them, who created the heavens and the earth? They would certainly say Allah. And Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes the second ayah in this regard, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. So it's Az-Zukhruf, the 43rd surah, ayah 87, with the explanation. And if you were to ask them, who created them? They would certainly say Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, they acknowledge this, that the creation is Allah's. He the Perfect and Most High. And because the creation is His, then likewise the command is for Him. And because Allah, the whole of the creation is created by Allah, it is for Him to command with regard to it. So He said, and because the whole of the creation is His, then likewise the command is for Him. He is the one who commands and forbids and legislates. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمَرُ تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. In the ayah from Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 54. The explanation is not the creation and the command for Him. Exalted is Allah, the Lord of the whole of the creation. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so in summary, these hidden and unseen matters are not entered into by the intellect and personal understanding. And it is not for anyone to interfere with them by denying or affirming. With regard to the hidden and the unseen, it's not for anyone to interfere in that. Denying or affirming, except based upon that which came from Allah and His messengers, alayhi salatu wassalam. And then the Imam, he goes on, he mentions the principles, and then he goes on to mention some specific matters from the hidden and the unseen that we have to ask Iman in. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? When the sun rises from its place of setting, obviously it's a clear sign that the sun, it will set in the west one day, and that last day there, it will set in its usual place of setting, placed in the west. Then in the morning, instead of rising in the east as it normally does, it will rise from its place of setting from the west. It will rise in the west again. As our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, the hour will not be established until the sun rises from its place of setting. So when it rises and the people see it, they will amanu ajma'in, they will all believe. But that will be when Iman will not benefit from the soul. And then our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the ayah. That's what the explainers mentioned in the tafsir, meaning if a person didn't have Iman before that day, then Iman on that day will not benefit him. If he's had Iman before, and worked and did good deeds based on his Iman, then Iman will still benefit him. But anyone who did not have Iman before that day, and likewise the person who repents then but didn't repent before, it won't benefit him. is because he sees the clear sign of rising of the sun from its place of setting. So then, as Sheikh Al-Bawdhan points out, it's no longer a matter of believing the ghaib and the hidden and the unseen. People have seen the Yawm al-Qiyam, the clear sign of it, they've seen them in front of their eyes. So there's no scope then for Iman to the hidden and the unseen. This is what is required from us, that we have Iman in that which is hidden and unseen from us. Contrary to those people who say, I only believe, you have to prove to me, in front of, you have to see it with my eyes, you have to physically, I have to be able to touch it or see it. No, the Iman is what is required from the believer, is Iman in the hidden and the unseen, based upon authentic reports, based upon that which comes from Allah the Most High, and based upon that, which is authentic from His Messenger. Allah alayhi wa sallam. As soon as that's authentic, then we have Iman in it. Whatever it may be, from hidden and the unseen. We don't say, I can't see it with my eyes, I'm not going to believe it.
So, the
raising is from the physical raising, something that proves the metaphorical. Yeah. And contrary to the Batiniyya and the extreme Sufis and the like, who twist the text, and they say, well, it doesn't mean literally. Literally the sun rising from its place. Why does it literally mean that? Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the rising of the sun from its place of setting. His companions held on to that. No companion explained it any different and said, oh, it doesn't mean that, it means something different. The Salaf didn't explain it, it means something different. Only in later times, the Batiniyya and the Sufis would like to say, well, this text means something different, there's a hidden meaning, we have a hidden meaning. No. The rising of the sun, as the people acknowledge, make clear, the text is clear, it doesn't make it very clear, what it meant is literally the rising of the sun from its place of setting. It doesn't mean Islam arising in the West, as the foolish Sufis say. The deviant Sufis who corrupt Islam from the inside. Well, I'm not increasing the number. The foolish things, then it leads to further foolishness. So Islam rises in the West, and then why? So now it's what? What's it in there? Yom Kiyam? So sometimes people have a weakness in the Iman, in the Ghaib. As the Sheikh points out here, that there are some, you'll find people who either will say it with their tongue or their condition says it for them. They're only going to believe in what they can see in front of their eyes or what you can logically prove to them. If you can logically prove it, they'll say, okay, I'll believe it. If you can't logically prove it, they won't believe it. Say, look, the Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us there's going to be punishment in the grave. He says, well, how's that logical? It doesn't matter how it's logical. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who does not speak from his desires, the truthful one whose truth is attested to and believed, he informed us there with punishment in the grave. Oh, we don't see it. If we did the grave, we don't see it. So what? We don't see it. We believe it. We believe it because we believe in the grave. Just as we believe in Allah and we do not see him. Just as we believe in the angels and we don't see them. Just as we believe in the rest of the grave. We believe in all of it because it's authentic from Allah, it's authentic from his messenger, from Allah alayhi wa sallam. You don't have to prove that intellect. Whether it conforms to our intellect or whether it does not, we believe it. Because our Iman in the Ghaib, that's what's required from the Sheikh of Al-Azhar points out. The first requirement for the Mu'minun mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. This Quran is the book in which there is no doubt it is a guidance for the people of the Mu'taqeen. People are dutiful to Allah, those who have Iman in the ghaib, the hidden and the unseen. It doesn't say those who have Iman in what their intellect can prove, or those who have Iman in what they can see in front of their eyes. No, they have Iman in the ghaib, the hidden and the unseen. The Shaykh al-Fawzan points out, meaning, says what is authentic from Allah about the ghaib, what's authentic from His Messenger, from Allah about the ghaib. Not based on what the Sufi Shaykh claims to be from the ghaib, no. What's authentic from Allah, Allah was authentic from His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you have Iman in that. Whether it conforms to intellect or whether it doesn't. Whether it apparently accords to intellect or whether it apparently doesn't. Sheikh mentioned that the principle here is al-istislam, is submission. That taslim. Then we submit to the text. We don't take the text and think, right, how can I twist this text to conform to our intellect? That's not the one, you know, that taslim, that we submit to what's in the text. That Allah the Most High is the most truthful. Allah the Most High speaks the truth. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed that truth and was the most eloquent in speech and clarified the truth perfectly to us. Such that there's no further clarification is needed from these three people. It actually means something different. We don't need that. So all that's upon us, all that remains, it's been made easy for us. All we have to do is submit to the text. Submit to the authentic text. Alhamdulillah. People find that for this book sometimes. Allah must be around. They seem to find it so difficult sometimes to accuse their own intellect. When there seems to be a clash between their intellect and between the text, what do they question? I don't know about this text here, or in this, I don't know, can't understand that. They don't question their intellect. Maybe my intellect is faulty here. But I know for a fact my intellect, human intellect, is deficient. I know that for a fact. Why doesn't that come to their mind? So there must be a misunderstanding in my mind here. And but the text I know is authentic. It's the ayah of the Quran, I believe it. It's the authentic hadith of the Prophet, I believe it. That's the end of the problem. Again, apologies again for the late beginning, but the lessons are for us at 8 o'clock, inshallah. I'm
I deliberately don't sort of memorize it in case it's too obvious in the text. But
yeah.
I'm not stressing the answer here.
I've gone along with you, but obviously I knew what it was, but I didn't want to make sure
it's the obvious answer.
I'm afraid if you come back, then you won't be able to get out again.
Yeah, but think of it, remember what you want, but to be honest, when you find out, like over here.
I can imagine, it looks a little so light here.
to leave the temple, they don't believe you in the temple.
Well, it's not.
Well, you've got to take Martin away because of course it's very helpful. That's the glory for us, isn't it? How about
that? just
yeah,
yeah.
The glory of you.
Just glory of you. Okay.
I'm coming, everyone. Okay.
Let's come down.
Well, it's going. What are you doing on there? Is another one on the window?
No, I didn't know if there's a stuff at all, but that's the difference of what most of the fans are behind that.
You did it?
Yeah.
Friday? Which is the other one you're doing?
It is one, I think. Yesterday, translation of the
market.
Sorry,